Carl Sagan said in his last interview in 1996, "Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking." Yes, Carl. Yes. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. What would a Friday be without a deep dive into computer vision and AI? Not a Friday that I want to have anything to do with. Yes, my friends, in this week's podcast, Poulin Desai from Cadence Design Systems joins me to discuss digital signal processing for computer vision and AI, sensor fusion, and always-on systems. But first, let's dig in to a little news you may have missed. So early on, during the rise of COVID, I would tell myself and anyone who would listen, there are a lot of very smart people working on this problem. Well, apparently we need to add very smart machine learning to that list as well. My apologies, machine learning. I certainly didn't mean to leave you out. So, what exactly am I talking about? Well, recently there was a study at the University of Gothenburg that showed that machine learning can be utilized to find effective testing methods during epidemic outbreaks, which will help us better control outbreaks in the future. So, this team of researchers from the University of Gothenburg actually used machine learning to simulate an epidemic outbreak, where information about the first confirmed cases was used to estimate infections in the rest of the population. They trained their algorithm based on data about an infected person's network of contacts, including who they'd been in close contact with, where they were, and for how long. So, I hear you loud and clear, my fish frying audience, but this was just a simulation. Yes, that is true. Laura Natali, a doctoral student in physics at the University of Gothenburg and the lead author of this study, contends that this type of method can be a great first step in the implementation of more targeted initiatives to reduce the spread of infections. Because this kind of machine learning-based testing automatically adapts to the specific characteristics of diseases. Laura says about this study, "When a large outbreak has begun, it is important to quickly and effectively identify infectious individuals. In random testing, there is a significant risk failing to achieve this. But with a more goal-oriented testing strategy, we can find more infected individuals and therefore also gain the necessary information to decrease the spread of infection. We show that machine learning can be used to develop this type of testing strategy." Wow. So, if you want even more information about this study, of course, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, including the associated white paper called "Improving Epidemic Testing and Containment Strategies Using Machine Learning." Very cool. Okay, from machine learning to test for disease, to digital signal processing for imaging, computer vision, and AI. Yeah, because that's how we roll here on Fish Fry. Please welcome Poulin Desai from Cadence Design Systems. Hi, Poulin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me to talk to you.
Absolutely. So today we're talking about Vision Q8 and Vision P1 DSPs. But before we get started, Poulin, can you set the stage for us? What are some of the major trends you're seeing in automotive or robotics or drones or even mobile and AR and VR? And why is there this need to speed up computer vision algorithms?
Yeah, so we've been in the computer vision DSP market for a while. We've been shipping in all this market, the various DSP, and we see various trends. So in the automotive, robotics, a drone, where a lot of different sensors are being used, like image sensors, radar, LiDAR. In the mobile and AR, VR, image sensors obviously are being used, some depth sensors like called time of flight. And then what you see on these products is that instead of like, you know, when the whole image sensor got used on camera, mobile platform was only one in early 2000. Now, you know, you have a large number of those, you know, on the automotive north of 20. I was reading an article that says that on one of the rumored AR platform, there will be close to 14 and 15 cameras. Also, you know, going into the high resolution and high frames per rate. So on the video capture, going to 30 frames per second to 60 frames per second, going to 4K to 8K resolution. So those are all the trends we see. And then once you have this different kind of sensors, you are needing sensor fusion. You are also doing 3D captures. And all this is driving a need for a computer imaging algorithms requiring a much higher processing power. You know, so some of these things at a VGA resolutions, you could run it in 20 milliseconds. And moving forward with the current DSP architectures, you will have to run it at maybe 200 and 300 milliseconds. That means you can't achieve a real-time performance. So that's the one of the main trend we see. There's one other trend we see is what is called always on island. So especially on the mobile platform, the idea is that you don't want to turn on the whole platform until you have authenticated a user. So let's say on your mobile platform, you are always working in a, like a microwatt environment where you detect an activity, a face get detected. Then you go into a milliwatt type of environment where you use a face detection and face recognition. This is where you need a vision plus AI. And after you have authenticated the user, you go and turn on the rest of the circuitry. And this is the three-step process, microwatt to milliwatt to regular mode. So these are some of the high-level trends we see, and those are driving the higher performance requirement and also driving a need for an always-on type of a platform.
Okay, so speaking of always-on sensors, there are some unique requirements for multiple sensors when it comes to 3D capture and always-on systems, right?
Right. So when you have 3D sensors, as we're talking about, you are doing a lot of heavy computational imaging algorithms. So the processing requirements are very high. You are looking at images that are coming from different cameras. So you have to do some perspective corrections. You have to do image registration. These are all classical computer vision and imaging algorithms, you know, and, you know, you will hear the word called sensor fusion. So you are fusing images coming from different cameras. And not only there is this algorithms are running in fixed point, but then at the end, you end up doing a lot of floating point processing. And also you are doing a linear algebra calculation. So what you end up doing, there's a fixed point calculation, there's a floating point calculation, there's linear algebra calculation. And then sometime there's a mix of computer vision and AI algorithms. So you need a solution that can take care of AI processing, a fixed point processing, a floating point performance, and a linear algebra processing.
Okay, so Poulin, what are SoC and system vendors looking for in particular for an IP vendor?
Yeah, so, you know, we work with SoC vendors in all these markets, automotive, robots, drone, mobile, and AR, VR, and they offer their SoC at a lot of different price point or different, you know, market segments, so low, medium, high also. So what they want to do is that they want to work with the one IP vendor who can provide a solution for all of their SKU. They also want to look at a solution that is scalable from low end to mid end to high end from the hardware performance. They also want to make sure that they can migrate the same software architecture, so low end to mid end to high end. They also want the same software tools being used across all their platforms, so that way they are not working with different vendors, different set of tools, different IDE in the software development environment. So these SoC vendors want to work with one vendor who can provide them a solution from low to mid to high end. They also want to work with an IP vendor that not only provide a vision DSP, but also let's say an audio DSP or a processor. You know, so it's like a one-stop solution vendor is what SoC vendors are looking for.
That makes sense. Now, I've heard that Cadence expanded your vision and AI product family with some new DSPs, and they're the Vision Q8 and Vision P1 DSPs. Now, how are they designed to address these needs?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So as we talked about, we've been in the business of providing Vizen DSP. We have a very highly successful product called Vizen P6 that's been shipping for a long time and it's been used in high volume platforms. We also introduced a Vizen Q7 product 2 years ago. And today we are announcing two new products, our seventh generation flagship Vizen Q8 product and a Vizen P1 DSP. And with the introduction of these two new products, we are offering a complete portfolio of Vizen DSP from high-end 3.8 TOPS to low-end 400 giga ops. So the seventh generation Vizen Q8 DSP is the first Vizen DSP from Cadence Tensilica that offers 1024-bit SIMD, and it is targeted at high-end mobile and high-resolution high-end automotive market. It offers greater than 2x the computer vision AI and floating point performance compared to previous generation Vizen Q7 DSP. It not only offers the 3.8 TOPS performance, but it also offers 192 gigaflops of floating point performance. And then the Vizen P1 DSP is 128-bit SIMD. So the Q8 is targeted at a very high end. In the middle, we have P6 and Q7. At a low end, side off is 128-bit SIMD P1, Vizen P1, that's targeted for always-on application and smart sensors. And it offers one-third area and power and 20% higher frequency compared to Vizen P6 DSP. And it offers greater than 0.256 TOPS AI performance. And as we were mentioning earlier, all these DSPs are built on the SIMD and VLIW architecture and instruction set used by our Vizen P6 and Q7. So now the customer has a one-stop solution from low-end P1, P6, Q7, Q8 from Cadence Tensilica.
Excellent. All right, Poulin, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now we've been in lockdown, which seems like forever these days, and a lot of us can't have the food that we would really like to have right now. So Poulin, if you could have one meal, doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the world, you need a passport to get there, the restaurant is closed, or even if it's on the other side of your state, what would you have?
I actually have an opposite answer. It's been actually a blessing because staying at home and not going to the restaurant, my wife has been making a lot of interesting Indian food. And I am getting a lot of different food that we wouldn't usually get because we are always busy working and then going out to eat. Instead says, okay, we can't go anywhere. We can't, go to that favorite restaurant in San Jose or Mountain View or in San Francisco or Santa Cruz or, Carmel. Well, let's stay home and let's make our fancy Indian plate that we haven't made in so many years, and that's what I'm getting. So actually I'm very happy from that standpoint. So it's a complete opposite from what you asked, but that's what it is, that I'm getting.
That's fantastic. Well, Poulin, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Amelia. I really appreciate your time. And I had to answer it that way because I'm assuming that she may be listening this someday.
Gotcha. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, you can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere you get your podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Also, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or if you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 18th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.